that. Resume our study of Book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Last night we studied chapter 3. Chapter 3 mentioned about Joshua. And chapter 4 talk about Zerubbabel. And if we return to the book of Haggai, Zerubbabel was a governor, and Joshua was a high priest. So these two persons were the leader for rebuilding the temple, and also can be considered as pillar for rebuilding the temple. And last night we mentioned that the Satan tried to accuse the Joshua, tried to disqualify him from serving the duty as a priest. However, because Joshua put on a dirty cloth, and God commanded the angel to take away his filthy clothes and put on a beautiful cross. So he was able to serve God again. So it's quite important that in order to stand before the holy God, we have to rely on God to take away our filthiness and put on the holiness. Only by doing so, we were able to continue standing before God and to serve him. So the requirement of serving God, most important is spiritual requirement. And chapter 4, before we go into, chapter 4, if we look into the teaching material, C3, the vision of a lampstand and olive trees. Chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 10 is the vision of gold lampstand. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was awakened out of his sleep. Verse 2, as he said to me, what do you see? I said, I am looking, and there was a lampstand of solid gold with bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And then verse 3, and two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, and the other at its left. So this was a vision witnessed by Zechariah. Now we have to think about the first issue is, what is the lampstand here or represent? In chapter 4, verse 2, there's a lampstand in the solid gold. What was the lampstand represent? Let's see the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Then I turned and see a voice that spoke to me, and I was given turn. It was a gold lampstand. So Zechariah witnessed a vision of that lampstand, also mentioned in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a gold band. So, Revelation chapter 1 is talk about this lampstand too. And that the issue is, what was the lampstand represent? You see verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars we saw in the right hand, and seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So in today's sense, in today, the New Testament era, the lampstand, according to Revelation, is the churches. We already mentioned that rebuilding the temple, Jerusalem, represents rebuilding the true church. And also chapter 4, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2, the seven, the pure lampstand, that lampstand represents the church according to the book of Revelation. And then on top of the lampstand, what was that? We see the chapter 4, verse 2, the later part. With a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes and the seven lamps. So what does seven lamps represent? Let's see Revelation chapter 4 again. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. So lampstand represents church. How about the lamp? Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. And from the throne proceed lightnings, thunderings, and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So here say, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which was the seven spirits of God. So the lamp which has fire is talking about the spirit of God. The seven lamps represent the seven spirit of God. So we use the spiritual Bible, the verse from the Bible, to interpret the Bible. So we come back to Zechariah chapter 4. So the church has seven lamps of fire. It really means a seven spirit. Seven lampstand has seven lamps, which means the church has seven spirit. Seven represent perfect. So what does that mean, this vision? Seven churches has a seven spirit inside. So what does that really mean? Let's see chapter 4, verse 4. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 4. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked to me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Verse 5. And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 6, and he answered and said to me, this is the words of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of the host. Also, this vision is trying to emphasize one very important point. To rebuild the fallen temple of God, the most important is not by the might, human might, or the might of a country, or power of a country, or power of a person. This is a spiritual construction for the spiritual purpose. And the might or the power from a person or from a country is not the spiritual power, is not the spiritual mind. So in order to achieve the spiritual goal, the most important thing is not have physical strength or physical power, military strength or military power. The most important point is we need to have the Spirit of God. We need to have the power of God. So, but by my Spirit. So regardless of what kind of difficulty Zerubbabel encounter, eventually, because the power of God, all the difficulty is going to be conquered. So verse 7, we look into verse 7. Who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shout of grace, grace of it. Even the great mountain, right? Who are you, great mountain? Great mountain means the difficulty is so huge that you cannot remove by human being. And that was a great mountain. But before Zerubbabel, you shall become plain. God is going to use his might to remove the obstacle of the mountain and to become a very plain road so we can walk into it. So if we look into the real situation, when they rebuilt the temple, they were stopped. But later on, through the power of God, they were resumed rebuilding the temple and accomplished. We mentioned before that in the beginning of Israel, right? Well, before they come back to rebuild the temple, what happened? God used his spirit to move to the king of Cyrus. The king of Cyrus was an atheist, but because God wanted to fulfill his will, so God moved the heart of king of Cyrus, and so Cyrus gave a command and allowed the Israelites to turn to Babylon to build it. So from the historical event, we already knew that God has used his mighty power to help the Israelites to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. So right now, they try to jumpstart that effort to complete the building of the temple. So God showed the vision to Zechariah. So what does that mean to us today? Let's come from the hardware part. I know a lot of churches have gone through the process of purchasing the chapel, right? Which church was the latest one to dedicate the chapel? Which churches? The last one, that recently, in United States, it was Houston, right? Houston Church. I think it was last year, right? They had gone through many kind of process or difficulties, right? But eventually, when they found this one, the current one, everybody was so satisfied, was so joyful, because this is the best one. in terms of location, in terms of the price or everything, is the best one. Oh. So we know God has his own preparation. The most difficult part is not how to get a physical building for our chapel. The most difficult part is in every member's heart. Do we really have a heart to trust on the Lord, to trust his mighty power? That's the most difficult part. Do you know, a lot of time we are doing the holy work. We are worried about this, we are worried about that. All our worry are related to the difficulty outside. Oh, we lack of manpower, we lack of financial power, and this and that. But actually, it turned out manpower and financial power are the least worry when we try to promote the holy work. Now, just like a San Jose Church, right? I think 6 years ago or 5 years ago, they purchased the current building with a price of $2.3 million, something like that, or $2.3 million. And they sold the original building with $655,000. So in short, of about $1.5 million. Oh, they are insured of $1.5 million. But do you know what happened? About within 3 years of the church dedication, all the money had been paid off. $1.5 million. All the money has been paid off. Oh, so one day you become the church council member. Oh. When your church is going to look for the new building or purchase a new building, the most difficult part is not the money or the manpower or where is the building God wants to provide us. That's nothing to God. God is almighty. The most difficult part is all the church council members. Do they really have the heart to trust God? Do they really have the heart to follow God's guidance? Do they really have heart to be united as one mind, at one accord, to pray together? That's the most difficult part. Now, if that difficult part can be conquered, then you are going to see the chapel is just there, the money is there, and the manpower is there. Oh, so it's so easy. No. So when we do the holy work, we have to know we are not doing the holy work by our own power. We are nothing but an instrument. We are doing holy work by the power of God. And the power of God can be manifested through you and me, the instrument. Oh. So that is the reason you say, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And this Spirit will go through the tube, right? And just like a lamp burning the fire, shines the light. And you are like that lamp. So that is the reason when we try to promote the holy work, what is the most important thing? If you are in charge of a youth committee, okay, now you are going to promote the youth ministry, what is the first thing you have to do? Or very practically speaking, you try to promote the evangelical work in a campus, what is the first thing you have to do? Prayer, yes. Any youth committee or any campus fellowship, if they start from prayer, pray every day, or pray together in one mind, one accord, they are already heading towards the right direction. And they are already heading towards the blessing of God. But if we fail to understand this, we fail to do this way. Let us start to plan for it. Yes, nothing wrong with planning, but we put all our talent or we put all our effort in planning, in arguing, in thinking about how to carry out our planning, and without emphasizing in prayer, we are heading to the wrong direction. You are going to see a lot of disharmony, or even it is very harmonious, in the wrong direction. After you push on the program, you try to push how to fulfill the program. After 2-3 years, you see the person who was planning disappear. So whether a youth group or campus fellowship can really benefit the youth, one of the key signs is, do they pray? Do they really pray hard? Oh, that's very important. I believe most of you are joining campus fellowship, or sooner or later you will become the leader of the youth group. Please lead your youth group or campus fellowship into the right direction. Not by the power, not by the might. The power about what? Your own power, your own might. But by the Spirit of God. Oh, it's nothing wrong to plan, but the power of God, only by the power of God, and then your fellowship or youth group will become fruitful. Oh, so sometimes when I see that some of the youth Bible study or fellowship, they pray so much, I'm very, very joyful. Because they know what they are doing. But sometimes I heard about the youth group, or they try to promote the youth ministry, and when the time of prayer, nobody show off. Everybody date. And when talk about meeting, everybody arguing. They do not know what they're doing. Oh. So this is very important. Rebuilding the holy temple. God showed the vision to Zechariah, right? From the vision, God told them the teaching, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit. Oh. And do you know the function of John the Baptist? Oh. What was the purpose of John Baptist's work? John Baptist was a forerunner, right? Paved the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So John Baptist actually was doing the work of Elijah. Oh. And when you look into the work of Elijah, the most important part of the work of Elijah is what? The spirit and the power of Elijah. Oh. Oh. So you see, when John Baptist preached in the countryside, a lot of people come from Jerusalem to listen to his preaching and to repent. Why? Because he has power. Oh. So today, in TJC, what we rely on is the power. You know, in True Jesus Church, there is never have a holy work cannot accomplish because of lacking money. You can never find any holy work cannot be accomplished because of lacking money. So the money should be the least worry when you try to promote the holy work. For example, right now, IA has a lot of money. I think more than 1 million US dollar, because members love God. They contribute a lot of money. What we are lacking is what? Manpower. Manpower. Oh. So if we continue to pray and God move more youth to dedicate themselves, then we are able to have more manpower, but financial power already there. Then the holy work can be carried out more effectively. Now, chapter 4. Let's come back to chapter 4. You see the teaching material, E1B. The great mountain will become a plan. In God, there is nothing impossible. According to the experience of the John Baptist, the mountain, the obstacle, actually is inside people's heart. So the message of the John Baptist is what? What was the message of John Baptist? Repent. You know, nobody wants to listen to the message of repent, right? Repent means you have sinned. Repent means you have to change. Oh, nobody wants to admit I have sinned. Nobody wants to change. But when the John Baptist preached repent, everybody repent. Oh, when they start to repent, the obstacle of accepting Jesus Christ's gospel have been removed. So right now, so-called the great mountain will become a plan. That mountain actually initially is in everyone's heart.
all. Okay? If the inside mountain obstacle can be removed, right? Everybody pray one mind, one accord, pray with the power of the Holy Spirit, then the outside mountain can be removed by the power of God too. Oh. So in your church, if you find out, oh, I want to purchase a chapel, it needs a lot of money, right? That is a mountain outside. Now, before you try to resolve the mountain outside, remove the mountain outside, we have to remove the mountain inside. And that mountain is what? The difficulty, the pride inside people's heart. Oh, okay. So gold lampstand represents the church. Oh, and lampstand represents the spirit. Number C, the temple will be rebuilt, even though there was a lot of difficulty. The temple eventually will be rebuilt. Verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. Moreover, the words of the Lord came to me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hand shall also finish it. And then you will know that the Lord host has sent me to you. So Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of the temple. Okay, so he is going to finish the work. How, why? Because by the power of God, he is going to finish the work, even though there were a lot of difficulties. Then verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. For who has devised the date or small things? For these seven rejoice to see that plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, and they are the eyes of the Lord, which scan and fro, to and fro, throughout the whole earth. Mm-hmm. Oh. So, when the eyes of the Lord see that Zerubbabel already used a plumb line, measuring line, try to rebuild the temple, these seven or rejoiced to see. God was rejoiced to see seven eyes, the God's eyes. So that this rebuilding temple happened, they were rejoiced. Okay. Now, from verse 11 to verse 14, verse 11 to verse 14, it talk about the two anointed one, right? There are two olive trees. Two olive trees, and verse 14. So he said, there are two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. You already finished the book of Revelation, right? 有没有 读过 of Revelation? It's too profound to me. What are the two anointed ones? Two witnesses. In the book of Revelation. You finished Revelation already. What are the two witnesses or two anointed ones? 不是，他前面有两个见证人。 You think about, huh? I will get your answer next section. This is very profound, huh? Now we look into question, huh? Think about the questions. How is the old gold lamb related to the rebuilding of the temple? Right? Gold lamb, according to Revelation, represents church, and them represent seven spirit. So the seven spirit, the perfect spirit of God. Working in the church, empower the church, so we are able to rebuild the spiritual temple. Number two, restoration of the temple needs to rely on God's spirit. Please elaborate with example.
Number three, how do the two anointed relate to rebuilding of the temple? This is more profound. Now we look into chapter 5. Chapter 5, there are two visions. The first vision from verse 1 to verse 4, the vision of flying scroll. The second vision, the vision of the woman in the basket, chapter 5, verse 5 to 11. Now, let's think about the first vision, the vision of flying scroll. Okay, when Zerubbabel saw the vision, chapter 5, verse 1, I turned and raised my eyes and saw a flying scroll, verse 2, and he said to me, what do you see? And so I answer, I see a flying scroll, its length is 20 cubits, and its width is 10 cubits. 20 cubits, how long is it? 20 cubits, how long is it? 30 feet, okay. And how about the 10 cubit? 15 feet, right? He saw a vision, a book. The long is 30 feet, and the wide is 15 feet. Have you ever seen so huge book? The biggest book you have ever seen, how big? The biggest book you have ever read or ever seen, how big? Have you seen a biggest? So big? So wide? No? The biggest book you have read, you have seen, how big? Not too big, right? Oh, not too big. Okay. And how come the book is so big? How come the book needs to be so big? So huge scroll. So what is the purpose? Write more? Oh. You know, when the elderly people, they read the Bible, always read what? Huge size of the Bible. Jump print, that kind of Bible, right? So when the book is huge, the printing inside, the character is very huge, right? The character is very huge means even you don't have to wear the glass or contact lens, it's very clear to you. Oh, because the book is so huge, right? 15 feet and 30 feet. Oh, the book is very huge. Oh, you don't need the glass. You can read the book very clearly. So what does that mean? That means the words of God is so clear, you have no excuse. Oh, okay? There's a huge scroll. Oh. Sometimes we have the excuse, right? Oh, I don't know this, I don't know that. But this is a flying scroll with a huge printing. Now the second question is, how come the scroll is flying? So there are two questions. The first question is, how come the scroll is so huge? The second is, how come the scroll is flying? Now we look into verse 3. Answer is here. Chapter 5, verse 3. Then he said to me, this is the curse that go out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll. And every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. So what does that mean? The scroll printed the words of God. Right? And the words of God is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the words of God will bring you blessing. But on the other hand, the words of God will serve as a standard of judgment. Oh,
So this teaching, this teaching of the Bible, on the one hand, will lead you into salvation. But on the other hand, this will be the standard of the final judgment. So how can you be blessed? You just keep the words of God. If we don't keep the words of God, this will be the standard of judgment. So he's talking about the curse is going to go to those who lie, right? Why? Because the words of God will condemn the person. Can you find a verse talk about Jesus Christ came to the world not to judge but to save? But those who don't believe, the words of Jesus will judge him in the last days. Where can he find? John. John is 21 after, right? After 10, and easier for you. Before 15. After 10, before 15. 12:47. Okay, can you read that out? Okay. 48. Continue. Okay. Anyone hear my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. How can you be saved? If you do it, you can be saved. Verse 48. And he who reject me and does not receive my words, the words I have spoken will judge him in the last days. So either way, you receive it, you are saved. You don't receive it, you will be judged. So the flying scroll, a huge print, this will become the judgment. Because of judgment, the sinner will be eliminated. Verse 4. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 4. And I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts, it shall enter the house of the thief. So the scroll will enter into the house of the thief and the house of those who swear falsely by my name. So it shall remain in the midst of the house and consume it with the timber and the stone. So what does that mean? The scroll is going to the people's house to judge the person. So the words of God, so the words of God is going to go deeper into your heart to judge you. Can you find a verse from the Bible? The words of God is a two-edged sword. You're cut into your soul, your heart, your bone. 神的话是两刃的利剑. Where it is? I think in the book of Hebrew. Chapter 4, verse 12. Can you read it? The words of God to a soul. So the law of the country, the law of the country can only judge your outer action. The law of the country cannot judge your intention, your motivation inside. Right? But the words of God is a living word. The words of God come into your heart will judge your intention, will judge your motivation. So this kind of judgment is very precise and very sharp. So the words of God, the flying scroll, is go into the house. Even you commit sin in your private life,
Right? You close the door, nobody knows your sin, right? But the words of God will go into your house to condemn you, to judge a person. Oh, so before God, nothing is hidden. Before God, everything is transparent. Even the sin we committed will be revealed, will be judged by the words of God. So this is the first vision, the meaning of the first vision. Huge and flying. The purpose is to eliminate the sinner. Or go into the house to judge a person to eliminate the sin or the sinner. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Can we discuss that next section in the beginning? Or you think about? So this is the first vision. The second vision. The second vision, a woman in the basket. We have 2 more minutes. Any question? How come the Zechariah have to saw the vision? The reason they were captured into Babylon because of what? Because of sin. They sinned against God. What kind of sin? Worshipping the idol. They did not keep the Sabbath because of sin. Right now, they try to rebuild the temple, right? A physical temple being rebuilt. And how can they live in the promised land again forever? They had to eliminate the sin inside. So I can abide in them so they can live in Jerusalem forever. In order to live in Jerusalem forever, they had to eliminate the sin among them. In their heart. So that is the reason there was a flying scroll and go to everyone's heart, house, try to eliminate the sinner. Okay. Let's pray inside this. Amen.